Chapter 6, From Kennedy's Myth to Johnson's Dream, Liberal Fascism and the Cult of the State. For generations, the central fault line in American politics has involved the growth and power of the state. The conventional narrative has conservatives trying to shrink the size of government and liberals trying successfully to expand it. There's more than a little evidence to support this understanding, but much of it is circumstantial. Liberals often argue for restraining government in areas such as law enforcement, the Warren Court's Miranda ruling, for example, national security, opposition to the Patriot Act and domestic surveillance, and that vast but ill-defined realm that comes under the rubric of legislating morality. While disagreements over specific policies proliferate, virtually all conservatives and most libertarians favor assertiveness in government's traditional role as the night watchman state. Many go further, seeing the government as a protector of decency and cultural norms. In short, the argument about the size of government is often a stand-in for deeper arguments about the role of government. This chapter will attempt to show that for some liberals, the state is in fact a substitute for God and a form of political religion as imagined by Rousseau and Robespierre, the fathers of liberal fascism. Historically, for many liberals, the role of the state has been a matter less of size than of function. Progressivism shared with fascism a deep and abiding conviction that in a truly modern society, the state must take the place of religion. For some, this conviction was born of the belief that God was dead. As Eugen Weber writes, the fascist leader, now that God is dead, cannot conceive of himself as the elect of God. He believes he is elect, but does not quite know of what, presumably of history or obscure historical forces. This is the fascism that leads to the Führer Prinzip and cults of personality. But there's a second kind of fascism that sees the state not as the replacement of God, but as God's agent or vehicle. In both cases, however, the state is the ultimate authority, the source and maintainer of values, and the guarantor of the new order. We've already touched on statolatry as a progressive doctrine. Later, we will examine how this worldview manifests itself in what is commonly called the culture war. The hinge of that story is the 1960s, specifically the administrations of John F. Kennedy and Lyndon B. Johnson. While not a modern liberal himself, JFK was turned, after his death, into a martyr to the religion of government. This was due partly to the manipulations of the Kennedy Circle and partly to the much more cynical machinations of LBJ, who hijacked the Kennedy myth and harnessed it to his own purposes. Those purposes, consistent with the nice totalitarian impulse of the progressive movement in which Johnson had cut his political teeth, were nominally secular, but on a deeper and perhaps unconscious level, fundamentally religious. On November 22, 1963, John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. As if on cue, Dallas was christened the City of Hate. A young TV reporter named Dan Rather heard a rumor that some Dallas schoolchildren had cheered when they heard the news of Kennedy's death.